We are back on another edition of the BBP. A little late in the week, the Bengals are coming off another L, falling 0-3 on the season. They'll take on the winless Steelers on Monday Night Football. We're going to get to all of that as the week goes on and they get to the practice field. But first, Tyler, plenty to break down right now. When you look at that game, and I think we don't look at the moral victory because that's over with. That was a week one Seattle thing, and I think if you went around the locker room, a lot of people said we should have won that game. The Bills gave that game on a silver platter.
Yeah, there aren't any moral victories in the NFL. It's a bottom line business. You either win or you lose. The Bengals, they shot themselves in the foot. You keep on starting off very slow. I mean, it felt like an eternity until they had a first down. And by the time Andy Dalton even had a completion, John Ross coughed up the football. So it was just a comedy of errors in the first half. And then in the second half, they got some things going. They found Joe Mixon, which we've been preaching the entire season. He had his best rushing performance and total game performance. It wasn't great, but it kind of got the offense into a rhythm, got it moving. They got the play action pass going. And then Andy Dalton found Tyler Boyd a couple of times. So you saw some good signs from the Bengals, and they went on a 17-0 spurt. Just wasn't enough. They couldn't overcome the Bills. They took the lead, actually, and then the Bills came right back down the field and scored, and the Bengals weren't able to bounce back. I mean, we all saw the game. It's just they haven't put a complete game together, and it's starting to get late here because this, yeah. I mean, they want to make the playoffs. I know we all didn't predict them to make the playoffs, but if they want to achieve their goal, I mean, you got to get some wins here soon.
You talked about Joe Mixon, and I felt like in the second half that Zach Taylor started to trust his run game more. But when is the guy in the offseason that you extend, Gio Bernard, going to get used more?
Yeah, they used him there on their final drive in the passing game. They trust Gio a little bit more in passing situations. Joe Mixon is not the best pass-catching running back. As far as Gio getting handoffs out of the backfield, yeah, I don't know why they're not doing that. But again, you have arguably one of the best running backs in all of football. Well, not arguably. He's top 10 for sure. And so you want to try to get him the football as much as possible, and they haven't. So they don't even run the ball to begin with much. And when they do run the ball, it is obviously Joe Mixon getting carries. I believe he had 15 against the Bills, and then Gio had only 3. So the disparity is there, but you want to get Joe Mixon the ball more. And he's your workhorse running back.
John Ross, we talked after the 49ers game. Can you fix tackling? Well, with John Ross, and I've said it before, you got to take the good and the bad. He does get in the end zone. He is still one of their top receivers right now with AJ Green out with injury. Still don't have a timetable for his return. He won't play Monday Night Football again. We'll get to more of that. But can you fix someone who drops the ball? Is it just a mental thing?
Yeah, drops are all about concentration and looking the ball in. I mean, it seems not like this, but you have to take your time. So when a ball is coming, you have to gather and look, trust your form and literally look it in with your eyes and your hands. And John Ross, I believe, when the balls are coming and he gets those drops, he's looking ahead and looking forward to run, and he's not concentrating on, no, do point A first, which is catch, and then go to point B. He's already on point B, which is get up the field and run the football. He leads the league in drops with 5, and like you said, it's the good and the bad. So the good is he's 3rd in the NFL in receiving yards. So that's a pleasant surprise for Bengals fans and for himself. That's something to build his confidence through 3 weeks, but the bad, you're also leading the league with 5 drops.
There was a play in the Bills game, and I don't want to back it up to what happened in week 3 and more look ahead to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but there was a play, and look, it could have been more on Andy and John Ross, but it was almost like John Ross has the speed, but he gave up on the ball. And that hurts when you're the quarterback like Andy Dalton, who has gone back to him. And we saw that in week 1 against Seattle when John Ross had a drop. Andy Dalton went right back to him, and then he finds the end zone. But as a wide receiver, when your guy's coming to you, you can't give up on that ball.
Oh, are you talking about that deep pass in the second half?
It could be both sides. Yeah, it could be both Andy and John Ross.
They were both frustrated in that. I thought it was an overthrow on Andy Dalton. I can't give that ding on John Ross. Andy Dalton overthrew that football. There were a few passes Andy Dalton would like to have back.
Maybe that one to Auden Tate?
Yeah. Yeah, that I was thinking about that one in particular. But yeah, that play specifically, that's not a drop on John Ross. I know some of the announcers said, oh, well, John Ross has to run through that, or that one's on John Ross. I didn't see it that way. I thought that was an overthrow on Andy Dalton.
We're going to stick with the offense right now. How do you feel Billy Price did against Michael Jordan? When I talked to PFF lead editor Austin Gale, he said he did play pretty well out left guard out there, and we'll get to that at the end of the podcast, but how do you think he did?
I thought he did okay. He's a better run blocker than Michael Jordan to this point. Obviously, he's a little bit more experienced. I think you still have to trot out the rookie out there if he is healthy. That's the key word, if he's healthy, keywords, because he has the bigger upside. He's a little bit more athletic. But Billy Price, I feel like the offensive line coach and the whole Bengals coaching staff wants to see Billy Price successful. I know this is a new regime, but the Bengals spent a first-round pick on him, and they don't want him to be a first-round bust. He's already got demoted from his center position. And to his credit, he's had a good attitude this whole time. Yes, he wants his starting job back. He wants to be a starter, though. So whether that's center, whether that's guard. And he performed okay. I wouldn't say it was enough to win him the position. And I don't like a player losing their job due to injury. That has happened a lot in the NFL. But it's when a player it's obvious that they are better prepared and better at the position. And in my opinion, Billy Price wasn't obviously better than Michael Jordan. He performed okay, and a slight upgrade in run blocking, probably about the same in pass blocking. Overall, though, I still believe Michael Jordan should get his position back once that knee is healthy.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting as they hit the field. They're on a 1-day delay with the Monday Night Football game in Pittsburgh to see if Michael Jordan is healthy, good to go for Monday Night Football, or if Billy Price will get another start at left guard. We will see as the week goes on. I think one of the things that we hear a lot in the NFL right now, flags, 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 and it's just ruining the game or whatever. Well, that's just the new NFL to me, Tyler, because all the different rule changes, and we're going to see that, and officials are human beings. They are human beings making those decisions. Yes, you do have the replay on it, and you know, having enough evidence to overturn it and all of that, and challenging, you can do different things now. You're gonna have that. I know a lot of Bengals fans, I was scamming through Twitter when there were a couple calls on the Bills or non-calls, and they were like, oh man, it's just the Bengals, they always get that. No, it's just the NFL. Like, it's going to happen like that. Like, look, the Darius Phillips touchdown would have been the game changer. They would have won the game, or at least had the lead at that point, or at least been in the game at that point, and it would have had the lead in the game. But I just think that you can't – and Darren Simmons even said, the official came up to him and said, it was the easiest call that he's ever made. I mean, there are going to be calls that the Bengals will get. There are going to be calls that will go against them. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's not a Cincinnati Bengals official thing.
Yeah, league-wide it is happening. And especially on the holding calls, there's been a lot of ticky-tack holding calls across the league. And it gets frustrating because it's like, as a blocker, what are you supposed to do? Tom Brady tweeted about it during the Thursday night game, which it was just flags galore out there. I actually fell asleep during that game. I just got so bored. It was just like, come on, man. Like, so there were a total of 15 penalties in the Bengals and Bills game. That's not too much, no. but you would like to see sometimes the officials keep that flag in their pocket, especially that Alden Tate hold. I mean, that was ticky-tack there, and there were more than a few ticky-tack penalties in that game. But just to say that it's exclusively to the Bengals is incorrect. It's league-wide. It's happening to all 32 teams.
No, and it's going to keep happening. Again, they're human beings. The rules keep changing. And unfortunately, even if you think it's not fair or not, that's just the way it's going to be. And it's not against just the Cincinnati Bengals. AJ Green, Zach Taylor was honest on Monday, and he said he's not going to play a Monday Night Football. I think with that at the moment, that could be more of, and again, we don't know AJ Green's body. He was out there on the rehab field for the past couple weeks. We don't know if he's feeling it or, you know, they want to make sure he's full go before you play him on Monday Night Football. I think this week is so huge for that. And fans were like, what difference is it going to make that AJ Green's out there? I mean, AJ Green is the number one receiver on the offense. To have AJ Green on the field, yeah, that's going to help your quarterback out a little bit for Andy Dalton. Do you think it's surprising that he's not ready to go yet?
I think it's a little surprising, but he didn't practice at all last week, and he was on the rehab field. He was running and doing some drills, but I think the Bengals want to see him go through a week of practice before he gets out there on the field. That's your star receiver. He wants a new contract, and I think that also plays into it. He doesn't want to just go out there too soon and re-injure himself on a contract year. I had this week circled in my calendar for AJ Green coming out there. I thought, you know, having the extra day of preparation would benefit him. But it's still going to be interesting to see if he ramps it up at practice, if he goes on the practice field instead of the rehab field. Because if that happens, then I have the following week circled, and that's will be a home game, and that will get the fan base energized and then more excited to be out there. I mean, their home debut, they said there were 50,000 fans in the stands. In my opinion, there were about 40,000.
Oh, yeah. Tickets sold.
So if AJ Green makes his debut at home when the team takes on the Arizona Cardinals, I think that will be a good idea. It's all going to depend on if he is able to practice a little bit this week. He doesn't have to go full go. He can be a limited participant. So Thursday and Friday and even Saturday are going to be key for AJ Green, not for Monday night, but for next Sunday.
Yeah, and it'd be a short week, too, if he did come back on Monday Night Football or just getting back to the practice field on Wednesday of next week before they take on the Arizona Cardinals next Sunday at home. But looking at the defensive line and defense in general, when you have the home opener where you just fail miserably, I mean, missed tackles, it was pretty much an embarrassment, and they'd be the first to tell you you can't look like that again. Yeah, they still lost the game. There's no moral victories. But defensively, I felt like they looked a tad better against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they did. And you mentioned the defensive line, and I talked about that a couple of times in my stories this week, that they performed pretty well. They weren't able to corral the Bills that much, especially Josh Allen in the pocket. He got outside. They still have a problem with containing the edge. But overall, it was a solid performance from the defensive line. They got to Josh Allen. They just weren't able to bring him down. They had 22 pressures in that game, 3 tackles for losses. This is the D-line specific. And Geno Atkins got in the sack column. He had his first sack of the year in that game. So overall, the defensive line played okay, not well enough to win. They still have some problems at linebacker, missing tackles and blowing assignments. And same thing goes for the secondary.
Secondary, man.
Missing assignments, blown coverages, and just not pursuing the football in the air correctly. They're just mental mistakes. And also, it's not a lack of talent. It's just a lot of mental mistakes and just the team out executing them.
Yeah, you mentioned the secondary, and I actually wanted to hit on that right now. Some guys that I'm a little surprised with is Jesse Bates and William Jackson III. Those are some of their most talented guys. They do have the talent in the secondary, but those guys, they haven't looked like themselves, or at least Jesse Bates from year one right now.
Yeah, and it's more alarming because it's not like they played world beaters at receiver. I mean, the Seahawks don't have very good receivers. I mean, I know they have a promising rookie in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. 49ers definitely don't have very good receivers. And, I mean, the Bills, I mean, okay receivers at best. So you haven't really gotten challenged with all-pro type receivers there, and you're still having trouble guarding guys. So, yeah, it is a little bit concerning when you have John Brown running all over you and using his quickness. But again, they still remain optimistic, and to their credit, they're still confident that they can turn things around.
What's up on Cincinnati.com?
So I have a story on the whole team's 0-3 start, but last Sunday wasn't all that bad. The silver lining is every single team in the AFC North lost, including the Baltimore Ravens. Steelers still have a goose egg on the winner's column, and the Cleveland Browns can't get right as well. So they did play a tough LA Rams team. So that is my story up on Cincinnati.com, and I have more coming today and the rest of the week.
Again, we're going to talk plenty of Bengals Steelers before Monday Night Football. You're going to want to tune in, download, subscribe to the BBP, and also check out Cincinnati.com. I will have the BBP Extra with lead editor from PFF, Austin Gale. This is this week's BBP Extra with lead editor from PFF, Austin Gale. How you doing?
Doing great. Great to be back in the booth.
Plenty to talk about this Monday afternoon. We're going to start with the Bengals right now. And it ended, well, their possession ended when they had a chance to come back in the fourth quarter. 17 unanswered points and Andy Dalton interception, a tipped pass from Auden Tate. How did he look on Sunday?
You know, the problem with Dalton really is not accuracy right now. The ball location has been good for him, and it's been good for him for a while. Right now, according to PFF's ball charting, he still ranks inside the top 10 in accuracy percentage. The problem is he's not pushing the ball from a clean pocket. A big number I look at in PFF system is when you're in a clean pocket, when you have, you know, time to throw the football, how far are you pushing the ball downfield? And right now, whether it's a combination of Dalton kind of being hesitant and also the offensive scheme, he is ranked 17th in average depth of target. That's air yards per target. He's not taking chances the few times in the game you're able to. You know, under pressure, don't push the ball downfield. You don't need to throw 20-yard bombs when you got people draped over you, but when you have a clean pocket, that's the time to take a shot to John Ross. That's the time to kind of push the ball downfield. And with Andy Dalton right now, the offense is so conservative, and I think they're playing to not lose rather than playing to win. I think they need to be more aggressive. I think the AJ Green injury maybe is keeping them more conservative, but again, Andy Dalton, clean pocket, you need to dial up some shots. He needs to go downfield if this team is going to win some games.
You mentioned John Ross. He did not have a good day.
No. I mean, he leads the NFL in drops right now. I think your receiving production is great, but he's getting a ton of volume. I'm really concerned. I think John Ross, you want to get excited about him because he has all this upside, all of this athletic ability and speed, but drops are going to continue to hurt him if he's dropping them at this rate. I mean, 5 drops through 3 games is incredible. I think he needs to dial back on that, and I don't know if that's something really you can fix. Like, drops are something that really correlate year over year. You don't really see a player that struggles with drops 1 year, he'll completely be a new player the following year. I think with John Ross, the problem maybe is ball tracking and things like that. He'll get better as the season progresses. He's not a rookie, but he hasn't played a ton. I think playing more, getting more targets. I like how involved he is in the offense. Now let's stretch the field a little bit.
Speaking of getting involved in the offense, we're seeing more of Tyler Boyd on Sunday afternoon. He was a highlight on the offense.
I mean, talk about a sure-handed receiver compared to John Ross. 0 drops on the season. The problem with him and why his production is always going to be a little bit lower maybe than John Ross is his average depth of target, 7.7 yards downfield. You're forcing him to be a yards after the catch guy with that average depth of target. He doesn't have great speed compared to John Ross, but he can push down the field. He can separate at the intermediate and deep levels of the field. Again, it comes back to this offense being a little bit more aggressive. Let's run some deeper routes and push the ball downfield when we're given time in the pocket.
A required question, because I bring it up every week when you join us on the pod, is the offensive line. Billy Price stepping up at left guard while Michael Jordan's hurt.
Yeah, I mean, took some time to kind of dive into the notes here before jumping on. Andre Smith and Bobby Hart have both played terribly. It's been hard to watch. This offensive tackle play for the Bengals has been bad. A bright spot, I would say, is Billy Price coming in for the injured Michael Jordan. Only two pressures allowed on 38 pass-blocking snaps against Buffalo. That guy needs a win, and I think he had a win there. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't a great game, but to only allow two pressures is great. I think Trey Hopkins continues to be a highlight for this team. What sucks is the center position is probably the least valuable from a pass protection standpoint, because you see on average the worst NFL center doesn't maybe allow more than 20 pressures. The worst offensive tackle can allow like 60 or 70 pressures. Like, you go back to Brino Giacomini for the Houston Texans, I think allowed 87 pressures one year. A center would never do that because you're trapped in a phone booth and limiting, you know, one-on-one, you know, situations. The problem is the Bengals have significant weaknesses at tackle, but some strengths maybe here and there in the interior, and that's just always going to hurt to make this offense kind of turn conservative when they don't want to.
You talked about Trey Hopkins. Definitely one of the positives out there. One of their longest running plays was due to Trey Hopkins, thanks to him out there. We'll go ahead to the defensive side. When you look at the secondary, they struggled everywhere.
Absolutely. I think, you know, through week three, the Bengals rank right now top three in pressure percentage. They are getting pressure on the quarterback. The problem is when they don't get pressure, the secondary is in shambles. I put in my notes here, when Cincinnati has not applied pressure, the Bengals are allowing 0.44 expected points added per play. That's EPA per play, an advanced analytic that kind of tells you success rate on the opposite side of the ball. That ranks in the bottom 10 of the NFL. The secondary, when Geno Atkins isn't getting there, when Carl Lawson isn't getting there, is getting dismantled. You see, you know, missed tackles in secondary, Dawson Knox bowling over some guys, and also some miscommunication. The secondary has been woeful, and that's a huge problem for, you know, a defense that needs pressure to have success, but even when they're not getting there, they're not getting bailed out by these guys in the secondary.
Let's go around to the AFC North right now. It's actually perfect timing because the Bengals will get their first divisional game Monday Night Football versus the winless Pittsburgh Steelers. Going into that game, what did Mason Rudolph look like in his starting debut?
In two words, not great. You know, expected him to get the ball out quick, you know, push it to Juju Smith-Schuster and some of these other receivers, but he really struggled. Low average depth of target, 5.2 yards downfield. They did not ask him to do anything. You know, the few deep passes he did throw, he had some success to Deontay Johnson, my guy out of Toledo, really like him. And Juju Smith-Schuster took that one, a short pass deep for a touchdown. He's going to need plays like that from Juju Smith-Schuster way more often if this offense is going to have success. They're struggling on the ground. James Conner has not looked like he did last year. And Mason Rudolph, this offense is going to be conservative. And I think the Bengals, that plays to the Bengals' advantage for sure.
They got hammered a little bit on social media last week, trading that first-round pick because they're believing in Mason Rudolph right now. Minkah Fitzpatrick out there in the secondary, one of the bright spots for their defense.
Absolutely. Solid in his debut. He had a couple highlight reel plays. You saw the forced missed tackle and the interception off a tip. I think that was a better play for the guy who tipped it, but still, way to be around the ball for Minkah Fitzpatrick. He did have, however, two missed tackles. He got stiff-armed to the dirt by Juszczyk, the fullback for the San Francisco 49ers. I think it was hit and miss. What was interesting, though, is they did not play him in the slot as I expected. They put Mike Hilton in the slot and played him roaming the box, a little free safety, and I think to get him involved in the defense that early was incredible, because defense, it's not like offensive line or some of these other positions where you don't have to learn a ton of scheme. He had to know a lot of the plays to be out there as often as he was, and maybe that forced the Steelers to run a little bit more base coverages or some simple defenses, but Minkah Fitzpatrick getting involved as early as he is, I think you're going to see a significant role for him against Cincinnati.
Again, the Bengals take on the Steelers Monday Night Football on the road, the first divisional game of the week. We'll hit on a couple more AFC North teams right now. The Browns. I got hammered, Austin, on Twitter when I said, Baker in year two, ? Right now, and everyone's telling me it's his O-line, it's not Baker.
I don't know. I and you're not going to find a company more on Baker Mayfield than PFF. We loved him coming out of Oklahoma. He was our number one overall player in that draft. He had a great year this past year, one of the best rookie single season overall grades we've ever seen in the PFF era, and that dates back to 2006. But so far, he's really regressed from a pocket presence standpoint. I think he's not getting help by his offensive scheme. I think Freddie Kitchens is leaving him out to die with some of the five wide spreads he's getting. He's leaving that offensive line to get him pressured. But with Baker, he's bailing out of clean pockets, and that comes from anticipating pressure when it's not coming and not having faith in your offensive line or the system. But if he continues to do that, he's going to really struggle, because when you're bailing out of clean pockets and running yourself into pressure, pressured play at the quarterback position on average is always worse than from a clean pocket, and he's leaving clean pockets to take on pressure, and I think that's going to be a huge concern for his game. And he'll continue to have these interceptions in the fourth quarter when he's pressing, trying to get back in the game. And I don't know, I'd be very concerned with Baker Mayfield right now. He needs a reset. He needs to look at this next game, reset, stay in the pocket, step up in the pocket when pressure's coming around the edges, and I think that's how he takes the first step forward and will hopefully be some bounce-back games for him.
And Brown's currently in second place in the AFC North, and we'll end it right here with the team leading 2-1, the Ravens. They look like believers right now. I know Lamar Jackson had a shaky first, second, and third quarter, but fourth quarter he really shined versus KC.
Absolutely. I think Lamar Jackson is finding out what he's really good at. Like as each play goes on, you see like his legs got the most involved of any game this week against Kansas City. He had some crazy passes on fourth down that I think more often than not get falling incomplete or even get intercepted. He benefited from some luck in this game, but again, such a weapon. And I love how aggressive the Ravens were in this game, knowing they were dogs on the road to go for it on fourth down. I think that coaching mentality with Lamar Jackson, with the skill players they have, this Ravens team is legit. I like the defense too. Patrick Mahomes is going to light anybody on fire, but this Ravens defense still showed some success, rushed the passer well, some breakdowns in coverage, especially on that Mecole Hardman touchdown. But again, this Ravens team against not the best quarterback in the NFL, I think get some damage done.
Week 3 in the books, what's up on PFF?
You know, we got our team of the week dropped today. No Bengals players added, but we're talking about the best players in the NFL. We have our new offensive line rankings coming out tomorrow. Same with we're ranking every starting quarterback in the NFL, talking about those guys too. So PFF, a lot of good things happening there.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.